Some of the things that we've been talking about the last several weeks are conducive to being able to reproduce who we are and make disciples. And that's really the goal of the gospel, is that we make others look, walk, and act like Jesus. Amen? And the more we look like Jesus, the more they look like Jesus, if we're mature enough to do that. And so there's some things I want to talk about tonight. The last two sessions we spoke of, we've been speaking about the seven characteristics of a disciple of Christ. Ends up this being the ninth week of seven characteristics. And so tonight's title is Removing Roots. So the last two sessions we spoke of going to war, doing warfare, and then obtaining and maintaining freedom in Christ, we talked about last week. And tonight I would like to conclude this series by talking about roots that hinder the true freedom Christ died for us to walk in. And roots that we may have walked in, may have lived with a while, but that Christ wants to reach down and take out. Roots are that which continue to bear fruit through the life of the believer, even though they've been saved and walking with the Lord a long time. Until there's an extraction of that root, I talked just a little bit last week, we talked about tearing fruit off the tree and cutting the tree down, but never getting to the root of the problem. Someone that's lived in an abusive relationship for years and years and years and years and years needs some healing in the root of rejection, root torn out of them. We'll talk about that tonight, so that there's no more bearing of fruit. Even when somebody's lived without that situation for years, if they never grab that root and take it out, they'll always be one step away from being the mature believer that Christ wants us to be. The process can be difficult to complete without the determination and boldness of the one that's held captive. So if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. We want to talk about, number one, the root of rejection. And if anyone understands what it's like to be rejected, it's Christ. He went through all of the rejection so that we do not have to. Isaiah 53, verse 1 says, "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him." So if anyone knows the rejection, Jesus does. Never had any sin, was always pure, and was rejected by men. As a matter of fact, I'm reminded that whenever he really started to preach the kingdom of Christ, he said, the kingdom of God, he said, "You know, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have nothing to do with me." And how many know most people walked away from him at that point? Now we think, well, Jesus was able to handle that, but when we realize that Jesus was totally human and totally God, he was 100% human being. How would you feel if everybody that was following you for weeks turned around and walked away? Come on, someone. Just a few, and he turned to them and he said, "Would you leave too?" The root of rejection has dwelt long, way too long in the body of Christ. It's rampant in the world around us today, somewhat due to some things that have happened since the 70s, since the late 20th century. And it released a spirit of rejection on our land. One of those things is, of course, abortion. I mean, no, there's no deeper or wider rejection than to reject children. To kill children. And we've done that. So that's released a spirit on our land. It's released a spirit in families. The birth rate in the USA stands at just below 2.0 per family. Not enough to maintain the population, as deaths far outnumber live births. And so not only have we rejected through abortion, but we're rejected by having no more children, not having enough children to keep up with the death rate. This is due largely to the fact that we have started with devaluing of life. some of the most popular things, games and movies and all kinds of things, talk about death, talk about ruining other people's life. The root of rejection has a large contingent in this realm, as well as what's happening in families. Although there's been the lie of saying there's 50% divorce rate, that's not true. But in some areas of the United States, it's up near 35%. That's over one-third of marriages end up in divorce. That's still very high. How many know that? And there's no worse, they say divorce is worse than losing a loved one by death. It's hard. It rips people apart. And so the spirit of rejection. So there is a pale of rejection already set in place by the enemy from these avenues alone. And we're called to walk above that. You and I as Christians, we're called to walk above that. And if we don't speak to that when we're witnessing to people, we're going to lose them. We're going to lose them. We need to tell them that they're accepted and loved by Christ. I mean, no, when we're talking to somebody about the Lord, we're talking to them. We don't need to remind them of their sin. They already know they're in sin. What we need to remind them of is that someone loves them and that accepts them just the way they are. He'll take and clean them up. If they could clean themselves up, we would be in the Old Testament. We're in the New Covenant. How many know God cleaned you up? Turn to somebody and say, God cleaned me up. And I'll tell you what, I couldn't have done it by myself. When I came to Christ, I was a mess. Thank God He loved me and saved me. But when I came to Him, there was a lot of things I needed to learn. And I'm so blessed that I had people to remind me how much God loved me and be able to work on me without being ashamed. Because rejection involves shame. I'm going off the notes now, but listen to me very carefully, because some people still operate in that. You can tell when you talk with them. They're always concerned about, you know, how do I look to someone else as a Christian? We know you need to be comfortable in your skin with Christ. Hello. You need to be comfortable who you are in Christ. We're not supposed to compare ourselves among ourselves. Our comparison is Jesus Christ. So He keeps us hopping, doesn't He? He keeps us hopping. We're trying to match up to Him. He does it in a loving way. In your notes, the first A is source of rejection. It begins with the parent-child relationship. Again, going back to the abortion that hovers over this nation, there's rejection that goes with it. But even before birth, scientists have found out as of the last 20, 30 years that when we speak to the child can hear us even in the womb. And it recognizes our voice and the inflection of our voice. It may not understand, but it really does. Adopted children can suffer rejection. Same-sex marriages are rampant with rejection. We're just now finding out that children that are raised in same-sex homes have all kinds of problems with interpersonal relationships, and they feel rejected because it's not normal to be in that kind of a relationship. But we're acting like it's normal, and we're bringing children up in it. So same-sex marriages are also a cause of rejection. We're ministering to people. We need to keep that in mind. Parents who cannot communicate love cause their children to suffer a spirit of rejection. I myself dealt with that greatly when I was a child. I remember my parents arguing every day. There was an argument. My dad would get drunk at night and argue the next day. And so I never knew if I was going to have both parents, if my dad was going to leave, my mom was going to leave. And so I operated under a spirit of rejection. And how I dealt with it was in anger. So I got in fights. I got in trouble. I got all kinds of things. But the anger and the trouble and the shame were all fruits of the root of rejection. So if I came to Christ, I had to get rid of that rejection in my life. I had to dig deep and dig out that root. And we do it when parents suffer rejection and they have children. That rejection is passed on. It's contagious. Alcohol and drug abuse is also a source of, and the reason why most people get involved is because they feel they can't deal with life. Rejection cannot be helped by giving things instead of love. And that's how a lot of people deal with it. They give their kids everything they want instead of what they really want is to be loved and to be accepted and to be taught and discipled. Parents who are preoccupied with selfish quests and critical perfectionist personality also lends to giving children a spirit of rejection. Secondly is peer relationships. Cruel remarks about each other. As children, of course, we have bullying, but we also have cliques, even in the body of Christ. We accept people, we reject others. That's what makes churches. All too often, we go to a building because everybody accepts us there, and the other church may have rejected us. Many know the first thing we need to do is to accept everyone that Christ saves. We need to accept everyone. But there's that cliquish thing that we get into. And the lack of achievement, we're all trying to better everybody else in the body of Christ so often. Thirdly is social setting, failure to accept social values. It's very hard to be a Christian in America and be chum with everybody. I mean, you know, people need to know where we're at and who we serve, and sometimes we suffer rejection because of that. But that's a good kind of rejection. How many understand that? But what the enemy will do is make us feel like we're odd or we're the person out. Guess what? I've lived long enough with Jesus where I know that I'm odd and the person out. I'm not going to laugh at the same thing. I'm not going to understand the same thing. I'm sorry I don't understand the latest, you know, fads or the latest things. I love Jesus Christ. See? And that's going to... And so that's the other side of this rejection. So if we're rejected and we've got a spirit that we're dealing with, it can come for those things that we talked about. And it also can come and make us feel bad about not being part of the gang, part of the society. It's okay. We're not going to be. In fact, we're asked by Scripture to snatch those as if we were snatching them out of the flames. Snatch people out of the flames of this life. Not fitting into societal norms, it's going to be okay. But one of the things that it lends towards is our relationship with God, this rejection. Given to rejection because, number one, of unrepented sin. Sin only stands between us and God when it's not repented of. God doesn't reject us, He accepts us. And He expects that we are going to confess our sin before Him. My Bible says when we confess, He cleanses and forgives. But all too often we feel like we don't match up and we're supposed to, and the enemy tells us we're supposed to be this and supposed to be that. Listen, the only thing we're supposed to be is to love God and to listen to Him. And as He extracts things, allow Him to do that. And guilt sets in. And our relationship with God takes on a whole different... We feel bad. We feel like when we spend time with God, we're not being honest, maybe. He's not loving us, and the enemy will come in. Listen, we need to, and we'll talk about it a little bit, we need to accept that we're accepted. If the Bible says I'm accepted, then I'm accepted. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Ephesians that we're made to sit with Him in heavenly places. He made us accepted in the Beloved. Now, why did He do that, and how did He do that? It's because of Jesus. Jesus qualified us for every blessing in heaven. We all partook in the crown. We all partook in the grace. We all partook in the victory when Jesus said it is finished. That's us. We can enter into that and say it is finished. Turn to somebody and say it is finished. See, this success that we have is not because of how we how we operate our lives. It's how we trust Christ to operate through us. Because He already won the victory. And the victory is ours because it's His. It's ours because it's His. Because of guilt, love can find no foothold. We begin to question ourselves. We begin to, in our prayers, the enemy attacks us and says, you really aren't a Christian. You really don't love. You really don't. What about this? What about that? Listen, our past has been forgiven. If we confess our sin, it's forgiven. And so we move forward and we move in the spirit of love. So B in your notes, the results of rejection is emotional immaturity. So often when I've counseled for marriage, a little boy and a little girl enter marriage because they've never grown up and matured in Christ. Gimme, gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy. I'll take all you can give me. That's our attitude. We need to grow up. Secondly, is a love vacuum that cannot be filled. People become self-centered. It's all about me. What can I get out of the relationship? Maturity says, what can I give in the relationship? Not only the relationship with our wives, but the relationship with our friends, the relationship with our family, relationship. What can I give? Not what can I get? Love gives, lust gets. The pleasure we get turns out to be self-gratification. Sex is lust and perversion, and religion is a savior image. We want to be all things to all people, but in a much different way than Paul ever meant it to be. It's the spirit that we need to fight. A spirit of rejection that we need to fight. Number one, I'm accepted and beloved. Number two, I'm accepted by those that love me. I'm not going to try to work overtime to get you to approve of me. If I'm approved of God, I'm living my life for an audience of one. If He says He's approved me, but all too often we're dominated by fear and rejection. Loneliness and fear dominate us. I've seen so many that have walked for years not sure about who they are in Christ, not sure about how God loves them. And we need to stop that. We need to put an end to that. We need to encourage people. You are wonderful in the eyes of the Lord. You are wonderful. You don't need more education. You don't need to look better. You don't need to drive a better car. You don't need to live in a better place. God loves you. That's settled in heaven. Amen? Two greatest commandments. What are they? Love the Lord your God with what? Soul, strength, and mind. And what's the second? Love your neighbor as who? Love your neighbor as who? So my question to you is, do you love yourself? Do you love yourself? I mean, when everybody's away, the makeup's off, you're looking in the mirror, you know, you haven't shaved in a few days, or you're looking at yourself, you're praying. What do you feel inside? Do you love yourself? Because if it's anything less than love, and I'm not talking about weird kind of things. I'm talking about being accepted and loved by God and knowing that and loving yourself because you know God has worked on you and placed your name in His book and He's living inside of you and you love yourself. This spirit of rejection is so thick in our land that it's hard for people to say those things inside themselves. We all know the right answer is outside, but we struggle with it because it's a spirit that hangs over us. And sometimes has entered us, our mind, our will, and emotions. We don't feel like it. We don't feel like we're saved. We don't feel and we go by feelings. We go by interaction with the enemy more than interaction with ourselves and with the Lord. We need to end that. Self-rejection is a hard thing. We have loss of self-value. We have a negative self-image, critical of self. And because we're critical of ourselves, we're critical of others. Trust enters into that. We don't trust people. We can't build long-term relationships. We only allow people arm's length. We don't grow close to people. One of the things that holds back the outpouring of God's Spirit is this very Spirit that I'm talking about, the Spirit of rejection. Listen to me. In Acts chapter 2, there could have been no more blessing than being one accord in one mind. They were all with one accord in one place, and the Spirit of God came. Man, when we reach that, we've reached real heartfelt revival. We stop looking at one another, judging one another, and loving one another just the way God made us. But most importantly is how we feel about ourselves. How we feel about ourselves. Number five, loss of self-identity. We destroy our self-image, and we need to stop doing that because Christ made us the way we are. It took me so long to deal with that because I had a rough childhood. And so when I got introduced, I never knew who I was until I got saved. I thought I was somebody else. And so I tried to reform Rick Smale. I tried to make him into something I thought everybody wanted me to be. And I got myself in a whole lot of trouble. Am I the only one? Come on, someone. I'm the only one? If you struggle like that, raise your hand. Come on. And some, I don't want you to raise your hand, but some may be struggling right now, thinking you've got to be somebody. God loves you. God made you the way you are. You can affect and touch and minister to people and be who God called you to be, who I can't touch. I can't be like you. I don't want to be like you. I'm comfortable in my own skin. When the spirit of rejection is operating, it's a relationship based on works. We keep a report card in our spiritual pockets all the time. Another characteristic of somebody unstable relationship with God is busyness. Always active. Always trying to outdo somebody or stay busy. Hebrews says that we're to enter the rest of the Lord, knowing that it's already complete in Him. The steps out of rejection, number one, is forgiveness. And that's three-sided. Number one, the first side is forgiveness from God. God, forgive me for not loving myself as you love me. And then forgiving others. Forgiveness is a big issue. We've talked about it in the past. I read an article that said 75% of the people that are in mental institutions would leave today if they forgave the people that hurt them. That's a large number. And that was a secular article that I read. I wasn't a Christian. It said if they just forgive the people that hurt them, they could walk out of the mental institution today. So forgiveness is a big thing. Forgiveness between us and God, forgiveness, forgiving others, and then walking in forgiveness in the world. Here's a newsflash. We enhance the spirit of rejection when we judge people that are not yet Christians. Come on, someone. Somebody on the outside, if they're not a Christian, they're going to do what they're going to do. Why should we be surprised when they sin? Abort their children. Divorce. Beat each other up. Slander each other. All those things are part of a sinful nature. Hello. And we're not going to make them Christian until they're Christian. All we could do is tell them about the love of God. But if we release that kind of rejection out of the church and into society, society knows what we don't love and what we hate, but do they know what we do love? They've heard a lot about what we don't want. Secondly, is to release our rejection to Christ. He bore our rejection. He bore our sorrows. He was rejected of men and He was rejected by His Father for us. Thank God that we don't have to go through that. God never rejects us, always accepts us. Turn to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 and verse 6. Now if you say, Rick, I've dealt with this a long time ago. Well then, good. Get your, brush yourself off and pat yourself on the back and tell somebody else about it. Because we deal with it in a large way. Ephesians 1 and verse 6 says, watch what it says, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. No one's judging you when you're before the Father. Not an angel in heaven, No one is going to judge you. The accuser of the brethren has been cast down. All we have to do is tell him to shut up. Resist the devil and he'll do what? Flee. Resist. Don't ignore, resist. But when you're before the God, before the Lord, you're protected, and he made us accepted in the beloved. This spirit of rejection cannot exist in the Christian that realizes this. Accept that you are accepted. And number four, find your identity in Christ. Find your identity in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God." We are being made into His image. He is working in us. He is going to complete the work that He started. Man, when I got revelation of that, I rested in Christ. I said, "God, you mean all I have to do is make sure and obey you when I read your word? Make sure to do everything I can to obey you and you'll take care of the rest? You're making me look like you? I'm good with that. I'm good with that." Goes on to say that we are His workmanship. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works." Put your name there. I am His workmanship. Turn to somebody and say, "I'm pretty good looking." Go ahead. Because it doesn't have anything to do with this shell that we look at. Are you hearing me tonight? It doesn't have anything to do with what we look at outside. Christ never looks at the outside. He looks at the inside. He's making us into His own image. His own likeness. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, faith, temperance. All of the fruits of the Spirit are ours, and He's changing us and molding us. He's the guy that is the potter shaping the clay inside of us, the spiritual man that He's making, spiritual woman that He's making us to be. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. And He's going to complete the work that He started. Bible says we, that's you and I, are His workmanship. And we're not what the world says that we were. We're not what we used to be. We're a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone..." My version says anyone. If your version says something else, get another version. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Now, I'm speaking to somebody tonight, but you've got to know that you're a new creation. Your mind, our brains can be our enemy. I'm glad I don't have total recall. I'm glad I forget things. Because some things are worth forgetting. Come on, someone. I don't want to remember the mistakes I made. I don't want to remember the sins I did. I know that God has made me a new creation. But our brains are like a computer. Our brains start to think about a past event. Maybe a song triggers it. Maybe a smell triggers it. Maybe talking to somebody triggers it. And we go back and we say, "How could I have done such a stupid thing?" Or "How ugly that was." And as soon as we get that thought in our head, we need to take it into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. It's very important now, because what we'll do is usually we'll pull all the other files out that has to do with that. See? And then we're dealing with something that is long ago dead. Long ago dead. If Christ declares it dead, how many know it's dead? Can I just tell you that Christ did a bigger miracle than raising Lazarus from the dead? When He died on the cross and separated us from our sins, and that old man is dead, He's not ever going to call that man out of the grave. He's keeping that old man dead. You need to realize that the old person that you were, the person that you were before Christ, can never come back. Christ is not a grave robber, and neither should we be. And the renewing of our mind is what we're after. See? Because this spirit of rejection continues to dig things up. And one thing I know about the enemy, he is patient. He'll wait until our weak moments. How many know what I'm talking about? You've had a string of just not too good of days, and you're in prayer and the enemy reminds you of something, a smell, a music, a thing, a conversation, reminds you of the struggles that you used to have. And our brain doesn't know if we used to have them or if we're going through them right now. They become so real. And if the enemy gets real hard, he'll start invading our dreams. Come on, somebody. Has anybody else woke up in a sweat going, man, rebuke the enemy right away. Rebuke the devil right away. That is not God. God is not going to open that tomb and call that person forth, ever. Just like he opened the tomb and called Lazarus forth, that old man is sealed forever. When he declared us dead, we're dead. I'll go back. Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. May not get too much further tonight. Romans 6. We're talking about the spirit of rejection. Romans 6 verse 1. It says, what shall we say then? You have to read Romans 5 to get to this point, but you do that on your own time. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Say this with me. I died to sin. If Christ said I died to sin, I died to sin. Well, Rick, it doesn't feel like I died. I don't care what it feels like. The Bible says you died to sin. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? So we were baptized in water, whether we were sprinkled or dunked, it was like being buried with Christ. The old man was buried with Christ. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Wow! After Christ was resurrected, He did some tremendous things, and I'm being made into that likeness. That's pretty cool stuff. That right there will give you a month worth of studying. I'm in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, past tense, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now we're talking about the spirit of and the sin of rejection. Because when we operate in that, we're operating in the hands of the enemy and in that sin forgiveness cycle. There's so many Christians that are in the sin forgiveness. I sin, now forgive me. Sin, I forgive me. Sin, I forgive me. Sin, I forgive me. And we never get anywhere. We're stuck in that place. God wants us to move beyond that in a linear way, getting closer to Christ, being made into His image. Rejection has no place in the life of a Christian. If people reject you, let them reject you. If the world rejects you, you know that you've been accepted by God. One of the most unstable people in the body of Christ is pastors. I'll just tell you. Because pastors can be easily rejected. 20 people can say you're doing a good job, one person criticizes, and you're like the end of your rope. Oh my goodness, what did I do? That's why pastors don't make it very long. The average life of a pastor in the United States is 2 to 3 years. Why? Because of the spirit of rejection. You're not preaching like that guy on TV. I heard, why aren't you preaching like that guy on TV? Why don't you have 3,000 going to your church? Spirit of rejection. I know whereof I speak. But see, we died with Christ. For he who has been died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe, verse 8, that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died once for all, but the life that He lives to God. Now we get to verse 11, which is one of my favorite in the book of Romans. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. And our biggest member is this gray matter up here. It's the devil's playground, if we allow it to be. The devil's good at what he does. He'll shoot arrows into our mind. Man, we'll be... Am I the only one? You'll be praying, you'll be thinking about the things of God, and all of a sudden this thought will come in. Thought of revenge, or a thought of hate, or a thought of lust, or whatever it is. It just attacks you, and you're in prayer. Do you realize it's the enemy trying to get you off course? Take that thought into captivity. Whatever you do, don't speak it out, because that's what he's waiting. He can't read your mind, but he can hear what you're saying. The minute you say, I'll never be any different, or you enter into that sin, the enemy has every legal right then to attack. Reckon yourselves also to be dead to sin and alive to Christ. That's a fact, Jack. Dead to sin, alive to Christ. I always get a picture in my mind when I read Romans 6, I always get a picture in my mind of me laying in a coffin and the enemy trying to get me to do something. You know, you can't do anything with a dead person. The old Rick Smell's dead, and he can't touch the new Rick Smell because I'm covered with the Spirit of God. I'm covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm being made into His likeness. I'm a person that's being worked on by the Lord, and He does all things well. The things that He's working on and carving out in me is between Him and I. Are you there tonight? The spirit of rejection has no place in the body of Christ. Number 5, accept yourself. Forgive yourself of the past. Once and for all, cut the past off. Whatever you did yesterday has to remain in yesterday. Don't carry it into today, and for sure don't wake up in the morning carrying the same thing. Because the enemy will build a camp there. And he'll wait until the right time and he'll attack you. Forgive yourself of the past. Number 2, receive the Father's love. If He says He loves you, God is not a man that He should lie. God doesn't have this set of rules and regulations. I'm going to love you if. God never says I'm going to love you if. He says I'm going to love you. Number 3, claim your deliverance and receive inner healing. You need to get by yourself with God or your spouse, somebody that you trust, and get on your knees before the Lord and say, God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Avoid the trap of self-pity. Avoid the trap of self-pity. Oh, I'll never be any different. Oh, I'm going to always be this way. That's the enemy's fast track to death. Fast track to the death of our spirit is self-pity. That's very hard. Especially if you've been brought up in an abusive relationship, or you just left an abusive relationship, or somebody kept telling you all the terrible things. Ask God to cleanse your mind. Ask God to cleanse your spirit. Receive the love of Christ. Get into the Scriptures. Read the book of Ephesians over and over again. Ephesians 1, Ephesians 2. Read Psalm 91. Pray Psalm 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen? 1,000 will fall by my side, 10,000 by my right hand, and it will not come near me. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing. I'm raised up with Him and seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus in order to show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness towards us. He made us accepted in the Beloved. Quote the word like you mean it. Put your name in there. It's okay. And Psalm 40, I used to quote that every day because I was dealing with a deep spirit of rejection. I had to quote that every day, day after day after day, and I memorized it and I put it in my spirit until I got to a place where I said, I'm no longer that person. Great, sweet victory. Some symptoms of this rejection. Number one, feelings of worthlessness. And this will help when you're ministering to other people. Let them know that they're worthy because of the blood of Christ. Number two, wishing one was not born. Many know when you do that, you strike at the very heart of God. God birthed you on purpose for this moment. Everybody in this room is here because God wants you to be in this generation. God didn't throw you out into the cosmos and you just kind of happened to fall in the 20th century. No, God placed you here sovereignly by His Spirit. Number three is inferiority. Nobody is better than you. Turn to somebody and say, you're not better than me. Can I just tell you, I refuse to be intimidated by anyone. And I had to fight that. When I first got saved, man, I was intimidated by everybody. I thought everybody was cooler than me and had it together more than me because nobody knew what was going on inside of me. I struggled. I had to reach the place where I said, you know what? I'm not going to be intimidated by any person. I'm just not going to be intimidated. And we need to have that spirit of love. I love you guys, but I'm not intimidated by anybody. And I know I'm not better than anybody. This is a level playing field. Paul said, you know, I went up to Jerusalem and checked and see if I'd run the race in vain. And I met with these guys who, if they were important, I don't know if they were important to anybody else, they weren't important to me, they were just guys. He said that about Peter, James, and John. So I don't know who, they weren't anything to me, they may be something to you, but I just wanted to make sure I hadn't run my race in vain. He wasn't talking down about them. He was just merely saying, I know who I am. I was trained by Jesus. I know that I just wanted to check and make sure. Don't be intimidated by people. Don't let somebody else intimidate you because of their knowledge or the way they act. Pray for them. That'll help in all venues of life, not only in the church, but in society as well. Another symptom of rejection is an inability to express feelings. Number five, depression. The spirit of depression. Depression is a fruit of rejection. You can get pills, you can get prayer, you can get all kinds of things, but until you deal with the root of rejection, depression will come back. It will continue to visit you because it's a natural outworking. When you plant apple seeds, you get an apple tree. If you don't want the apple tree anymore, you get rid of the root. Emotional insulation. You can't ever really love anybody. You can't reach out to somebody. Number seven, being self-centered is also a fruit of rejection. It's all about me. I can't afford to love anybody else because they wouldn't understand. Introspective, number eight. Number nine, a perfectionist. Is a fruit. Perfectionism is a fruit of rejection. Number 10, little self-discipline. You can't get things done. You never finish. There's a bunch of unfinished things. Number 11, irresponsible. Somebody that operates under a spirit of rejection goes from job to job, relationship to relationship. This will help when you're ministering to somebody. I don't know how many times I've seen that operating in people. Number 12, worries and doubts and fears. And number 13, self-hatred. Those are fruit of this root of rejection. And you've got to go after the strong man. If you're ministering to somebody, if you're witnessing to a relative, if you're witnessing to a friend, deal with the root of rejection before you try to get rid of this stuff. It will be so much easier. Jesus said, if you bind the strong man, you can go in and take his goods. Attitudes towards others and somebody dealing with the root of rejection. Cannot accept love, programmed to see rejection, self-fulfilling prophecy. They know they're going to fail, so they set themselves up for it. Trying hard to please others, expressing what they think people want to hear instead of what their convictions are. You talk about it in a broader sense, the whole church, not the whole church, but the large amount of the church in the United States has operated under the spirit of rejection for so long that we begin to accept sin for the sake of being accepted by people. Anybody that reads their Bible knows that some of the things that's going on right now that we say is okay is wrong. It's sin, and we can't get behind it. We can't encourage it. We've got to stand against it. But we've so long ran away from that conviction that now when we speak about it, we hate. No, we don't hate. We're standing for the truth. But the spirit of rejection has grown from individuals to families to areas to counties to states to the whole of the nation operating under this whole thing. Now people get upset if you criticize them. They're actually suing each other in court for saying words against each other. You called me a so-and-so. Man, if they'd have grown up in my hometown, they'd be... So this spirit of rejection is not just a small thing. I'm not talking about a small thing. I'm talking about something that's operated even to denominations, rejecting Christ to be accepted by the world. Rejecting the truth of God to be so they'll be accepted by their... And in their striving for acceptance, they're operating in a spirit of rejection. And God has given them over. Romans 1 says, I'll give you over to the sins of your flesh. Somebody that's operating under the spirit of rejection will cling like a leech to those who do not accept or they're trying to find approval from. I can't stress enough this spirit of rejection. I think that with that, and we'll talk about next week, we'll finish this root of rebellion and the root of pride. Because rejection and rebellion are actually twin sisters. We're going to see that. Because if you don't deal with the spirit of rejection, the root of rejection, you'll rebel. And rebellion is enhanced and changed. Again, whole denominations have changed. I was raised United Methodist. It doesn't look like anything like when I was in the United Methodist Church. I'm not trying to pick on them. I'm just saying I know the United Methodists. And so whole denominations have operated not under only under rejection, but in rebellion as well. And then the sin of pride, where you think you're all that. You're all the macaroni and all the cheese. We've got this right now. We understand God so much that we're going to rewrite the Scriptures. Spirit of rebellion and pride hit so much that one of the leading theologians of our time held a conference in Chicago 2 years ago against the spiritual gifts. And it was packed. He wrote a book about it, saying that everything that was all the spiritual gifts have been fake since the death of the last apostle. Nobody's really been healed. Spirit of God doesn't really move. And he packed the place out. Accepted. I'm not going to say. Yeah, I'll tell you later. A very famous name. If you'd like to hear, I'll tell you personally, but I don't want to. Maybe I do. John MacArthur. Anybody know John MacArthur? One of the most prolific authors of the 20th century and into the 21st. Spiritual gifts, spiritual things, prophecy, the gifts of healing never take place. It's because of the rebellion and the pride. When you think you know more than God. Hallelujah. Come on, someone. We need to fear God. We need to fear God. Yes. Makes sense to me. You're preaching to the choir. It makes sense to me. But, I mean, he's proven it. Oh, yes. Very much so. But I'm talking about that rejection, that spirit of rejection, rebellion that ends up being prideful. Because when you're not healed of it, you have to defend it. When you're not healed of it, you have to defend it. This is meant to be. This is what I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm... No, God rejects the prideful and exalts the humble. Amen? So, Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, for what you've made us to be. God, help us to, those of us who are walking this path, Lord, trying to embrace your truth. Lord, for every lie that's been told, my brothers and sisters, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Lord, we do not accept that lie of the devil anymore. We have been made to be accepted in your beloved God. Lord, you sent your Holy Spirit to live inside of us and reside in us. And for that, we're eternally grateful, Lord. Now, God, as we grow up, as we mature in this hour, where you're calling mature believers, Lord, we want to be those people that reproduce in a supernatural way, naturally. And so, Father, help us to be comfortable in our skin, comfortable where you've made us to be, God. There's no one like us, God. We're individuals that have been filled with your Holy Spirit, that have been called by your name, that have been made new creations in your kingdom and seated with you in heavenly places. We thank you for that, God. Help us as we walk in maturity, as we walk in clear vision for what you're doing in this hour, God. We thank you. You're raising up an army, but you're raising up an intelligent army filled with your Spirit, ready to do the work that you've called us to do. Those laborers that are going in the harvest field, let them be mature laborers that know the crops they're bringing in are the souls of men. We thank you, we bless you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.